Okay, friends, let's go right on. We have just completed program 49, and it was the first program for the sixth rule. And we've been working with the idea of what is the third eye, it not being the same as the pineal gland, but rather an evocation when the higher energy, the soul energy, or even the monadic energy begins to interact with the pineal gland and with the pituitary body and the asana center. And I've called this sometimes the marriage of Vulcan and Venus. We would have to know, you know, which planets rule which centers. And I remind you that you can find that information in Esoteric Astrology, page 517, both for the advanced man, disciple, and for the average individual. So this eye of Shiva, this blue eye, interestingly enough, the third eye, we might say that in a way the monadic plane is the blue plane. This eye is only active when the monadic aspect is controlling. So let's not look for the practical opening of this eye until the area of the third initiation is approached, or until it is taken. And oftentimes what seems to be the testimony of the third eye is really the testimony of astral psychism, and misleads many people. So we're dealing with what the third eye, the eye of the soul, can accomplish. And it's the eye of vision, and it reveals the light within the form. And I suppose I've been hypothesizing that it reveals that form is light. So this is a continuation. What else does it do? It is, this third eye is the controlling factor of the magical work. All white magical work is carried forward with a definitely constructive purpose made possible through the use of intelligent will. You know, it relates, the magical work relates to the form building aspect of the second ray. So we are, you know, constructing, creating, building in line with what we understand of the divine plan. And the vision will reveal this to us, the vision of what must be accomplished by such as we are within the sphere in which we find ourselves. In other words, the soul knows the plan. Let us say that the solar angel and its projection, the angel of the presence, know the divine plan and impart it in meditation to the soul in incarnation, the disciple. Impart. Okay. And when the alignment is right and the attitude correct, the will aspect of the divine man can function and bring about results in the three worlds. Now, this is obviously somewhat ahead of the majority of us, because we understand so little of what the will is. He assures us of this. But I've often thought, you know, that it is really willingness which it is important to understand, and it will reveal what the will is. Anyway, the organ used is the third eye to bring the will aspect through into the three lower worlds. The analogy to this can be seen in the often noticed power of the human eye as it controls other human beings and animals by a look, and through steady gazing can act magnetically there are people who, you know, kind of carry the ability to transfer such a look, whether it is for positive purposes or simply for purposes of personality control. So one has to be careful about how one looks into the eyes of others, as the possibility of being controlled does exist. The analogy to this can be seen. Okay. Force flows through the focused human eye. Force flows through the focused third eye. And here we realize the seeing of the third eye may not at first be focused. And a sharper focus grows over time. A clearer perception of the world of light. The unfettered enlightenment of Shambhala and of the school in Shambhala and of the Lord of the World is appreciated by this eye of the will, this third eye. The will is associated with the blinding light of the first aspect. Kind of interesting, DK tells us that St. Paul was truly struck by the light on the road to Damascus and was, in fact, blinded for 3 days. And we know in various ways why the first ray is so associated with St. Paul Hilarion. The fifth ray first, and then the first ray as the major monadic ray, I believe. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I think he was in that category. And DK offered that mantra when discussing the first ray monad. Now, what else about the third eye? It has a destructive aspect. And the energy flowing through the third eye can have a disintegrating and destroying effect. Well, I imagine that all three aspects are going to be found somehow in the expression of the third eye. It's controlling the magical work and its building, and it's also revealing the light. Now, is it the third aspect of divinity which reveals the light? And this is, you know, kind of an ambiguous question, because sometimes the idea of light is associated with the second aspect, the ray of light-bearing influence, and sometimes it is associated with the third aspect, the light of intelligence, with the second aspect being that of love and the first aspect being that of will. Anyway, there is a destructive aspect here, and wherever there is destruction, we have to find the first ray. But let us also remember that the law of disintegration is the third systemic law. So there's some similar energies passing here from 1 to 3 and 3 to 1. It can, through its focused attention... All right, where was I? I didn't turn the telephone down, sorry. Not quite totally professional studio work going on here, but I'm trying to get across to you some thoughts. So there is a destructive aspect. It's correlated with the first aspect of divinity. It is, after all, the eye of Shiva, and Shiva is the destroyer. Okay. So it can, through its focused attention, not only act magnetically, but it can, directed by the intelligent will, drive out physical matter. Now, this is very interesting. The Om does this as well, and maybe when we sound the Om with the idea of the will behind it, it will be even more powerful in driving out the physical matter. It is the agent of the soul in purificatory work. And here he seems to be telling us that there is much of the first ray in the purificatory work. Purificatory, okay. And my ofs are all foes. One finger is not responding fast enough. So here's the destructive aspect of the third eye. So there is, I guess, if I were to look at the third eye from the point of view of from the point of view of three different aspects, what would I say? I would say the following. Whoop. That's not what I want. Okay. I would say there is destruction, attraction, and manipulation. And I think those cover the first three rays. You can act within this world of light, directing energy streams via the third eye, which would be manipulation on the third ray. You can bring various forces together and hold things in cohesion. So holding in cohesion. And you can destroy and drive out. And here is directing the energy currents. These different things you can do. Now, how they correlate or the extent to which they correlate exactly with the three that he has mentioned, maybe it's not a perfect fit. But I think we can find the three aspects here. Revelation of the light, the registration of illumination. We can find controlling and building, which is of the second aspect, and we can find destruction of the first aspect. But let's remember, you know, after all, it is the eye of Shiva. And in the Hindu triumvirate, we have Brahma, Shiva the destroyer, Vishnu the preserver, and Brahma, well, the creator. It should be noted here that in each of the subtle bodies in the three worlds, there is a corresponding point of focus, and the center between the eyebrows is but the physical counterparts, for etheric matter is physical, of inner correspondences. This is an interesting statement. There is a corresponding point of focus. There is certainly an ajna center for the chakric apparatus on the astral plane. And but when we get into the higher correspondence of the ajna center on the mental plane, we're already into the egoic lotus. So there's always going to be an I on all of these levels. There will be an I on each of the levels through which the consciousness can look out. And this I, of course, is, as we've been saying, it's not the ajna center per se, nor is it the head center per se, is an evocation between them somehow. Through this point of focus, the soul looks out or contemplates the mental plane, including the mental mechanism. So, you know, there is a correspondence to the third eye, to, let's call it, to the etheric third eye on the astral plane and on the mental plane. Otherwise, the soul could not look into the condition of its instrument. So through this point of focus, the soul looks out upon, or excuse me, contemplates, steadily contemplates the mental plane, including the mental mechanism. Similarly, on the emotional plane, the soul is brought into a state of awareness or vision of its emotional sheath and the world of astral phenomena, and the physical parallel exists in the etheric body. So this is very important, how the soul sees into the condition of its mechanism. So basically, what we're looking at here is, right. Okay, I'm back again. I don't know if you knew I was away, but this is not my day here for technical work with the Word program. But anyway, after that latest freeze, we talk about this corresponding focus that is found in all the areas. I suppose there's a corresponding focus in the astral plane to every chakra, and it is so for the lower mental plane as well, at least the lower four chakras, but here, corresponding to the third eye. That's what we're talking about here, the third eye. And this is where things went bad for me a minute ago. Through this point of focus, the soul looks out or contemplates the mental plane, including the mental mechanism. Similarly, on the emotional plane, the soul is brought into a state of awareness or vision of its emotional sheath and the world of astral phenomena, and the physical parallel exists for the etheric body. Now, so the soul, or consciousness within the egoic lotus, is aware of the condition of its mechanism and sees into that mechanism. Now, it is the third work we've been talking about, you know, the three aspects of divinity working through the third eye. It is the third work of the soul that is touched upon here, the destructive work of getting rid of the old forms, of shaking out of the bodies matter of an undesirable kind, and of breaking down the barriers and limitations to soul activity. These processes are directed by the third eye in its destructive mode, and the use of the word Om simultaneously, simult, will help. Will help. Okay, this is simultaneous. Okay. Right. Will help. So these three activities of the soul, through the medium of the third eye, the revelation of light is one of them, and the control of the building process, and the destructive process of scattering and throwing out matter of an undesirable kind, so that there can be an unimpeded vehicle through which soul activity can occur. These three activities of the third eye are to be retained and participated in as the third eye gains in its functionability. These three activities of the soul through the medium of the third eye are the correspondences to the three aspects, and students would find it of interest to work this out. Well, that's what we've been trying to do. The destructiveness of the third eye corresponding with number three, corresponds to number three. The building aspect of the third eye corresponds to number two, and the detection of the light to number one, I suspect. Seeing behind the form, becoming aware of the light of the world, assessing the particular state of being in which one finds oneself, according to the nature of the illumination, perhaps, since there's all that's left, I would say, the noticing of the light and its evaluation corresponding to number one. Third aspect of divinity. Okay. Third aspect of divinity. And here we have the second aspect of divinity. And here we have the first aspect of divinity. Okay. The seeing of the light. Oh, is he going to... Now we'll get a chance to see whether I've done this correctly or not. The seeing of the light within all forms through the agency of the third eye, brought into being through the realization of the light in the head, the spiritual light, is but the correspondence to the physical eye, revealing forms in the light of the physical sun. This corresponds to personality, we might say, and hence, perhaps, to the third aspect of divinity, as the personality does correspond to the third aspect of divinity. The aspect of control through magnetic energy and the attractive force of the spiritual eye, which is the dominant factor in magical work, is the correspondence to the soul. And so, yes, and thus to the second aspect of divinity. In a most mysterious sense, the soul is the eye of the monad, enabling the monad, which is pure being, certainly essentially so, to work, to contact, to know, and to see. It's the very essence of the monad, I think, and not its sheath that should be considered the pure being. So this is the second aspect of divinity. And I want to make a little correction, if I can, that this sad thing should be called the second aspect of divinity. Keep them all capitalized, you know. Right. Okay. The aspect of destruction is the correspondence to the monad or will aspect. In the last analysis, it is the monad that brings about the final abstraction, destroys all forms, withdraws itself from manifestation, and ends the cycle of creative work. So this is, of course, then the first aspect of divinity. Well, okay, I was correct here, but I think there was more to be said about the second phase, which involves control, under the, interestingly, the second aspect. But the constructiveness of phase two definitely corresponds with the form building of the second aspect. When the alignment is correct, the will aspect of the divine man can function and bring about results in the three worlds. The organ used is the third eye. And now here, correlating with the second aspect again, the analogy to this can be seen in the oft-noticed power of the human eye as it controls of the human beings and acts magnetically. So here we have the correspondence to the second aspect of divinity. And then finally, destruction. There's no question about it. It is the first aspect of divinity, but there's a certain amount of overlap in all of these. So here is the seeing of the light corresponding to the physical sun. And here is the aspect of control through magnetic energy and attractive force corresponding to the soul, which is the representative of the second aspect of divinity. And finally, the aspect of destruction. We have to use all of these, and our progress will be hastened as the third eye takes form. And this, of course, through the retention of the energies which may be needed, and through the occult meditation, and through the stimulation and of the pituitary and pineal, and the evocation of the third eye. All right. And from another perspective, it is manipulative, attractive, and destructive, as I've tried to say a little earlier. Bringing these concepts down to practical expression in relation to the rule under consideration, it can be noticed that all these three activities are dealt with in this rule. The third eye opens as a result of conscious development, right alignment, and the inflow of soul life. Okay. Then it's magnetic controlling force. So this is, let's just say, we'll call it the third aspect of divinity. Okay. All right. TADD. Then its magnetic controlling force makes itself felt, controlling the lives of the lower bodies, driving forth the lower four elementals of earth, water, fire, and air, and forcing the lunar bodies to abdicate. Now, this sounds like a combination of the second aspect of divinity and the first aspect of divinity. The personality, I mean, the elemental lives which are unconscious, the personality which has hitherto been the master no longer can control, and the soul comes into full domination in the three worlds. So we really have to have an uprising, a coup d'etat, All right. An overthrow of the state, as it were. A coup d'etat. All right. The elemental of earth, who is the sum total of the many lives which form the physical body, is controlled and feels the eye of the master, the one master in the head upon it, the one master in the head, which is stimulated by soul energy. The gross elements constituting the body are driven forth and better and more adequate atoms or lives are built in. Now, this is definitely the driving force is under the sway of the, of the first aspect of divinity, the attraction and building in of the new and more refined elements comes under the influence of the second aspect of divinity. Okay, so we see how the first and second aspects are working together here, driving forth and building in. Okay, so the personality is no longer in charge, but the soul in incarnation, influenced by the soul on its own plane, is in charge. Okay, no, we're not going to be able to do that. An uprising, a coup, that'll have to do. So it is the soul in incarnation, suffused increasingly by the energy of the soul on its own plane, which is now in control. And to the extent that a man can identify with the soul on its own plane, that will be the controlling factor. Now, we've spoken here of the element of earth and its purification and the method of driving forth and substituting. So the method is one of driving forth and substitution. The elemental of the astral body of water undergoes a similar activity, plus a stabilizing effect. And that's very important because the astral body is so often the unstable, disorganizing factor, which brings to an end the restlessness and fluid tempestuousness which have hitherto characterized it. Through the controlling magnetic power of the spiritual eye, the soul rebuilds the astral body and holds it steady and coherent through its focused attention, and this is the second aspect of divinity, definitely under the law of cohesion. The law of attraction. Okay. I'm wondering why I'm having trouble there. This is not my day. Law of attraction. Okay, we'll try that. L-O-A-T. So we see secondary things happening here. Stabilization, magnetic control, rebuilding, you know, this is definitely the second aspect of divinity, holding it steady and coherent, the law of cohesion, second law of the system, through its focused attention. Again, an analogous process goes forward in the mental body. Old forms disappear before the clear light in which the spiritual man is working. And as the old commentary puts it, one glance the soul doth cast upon the forms of mind. A ray of light streams out and darkness disappears. Distortions and evil forms fade out and all the little fires die out. The lesser lights are no more seen. The eye through light awakens into life the needed modes of being. To the disciple, this will carry knowledge. To the ignorant, no sense is seen, for a sense lacks. And this is the sense that reveals the sense that reveals the mental plane or the correspondence to the etheric third eye as it works on the mental plane. One glance the soul doth cast upon the forms of mind. A ray of light streams out, its dissipative light from the higher correspondence of the etheric third eye. Distortions and evil forms fade out, and all the little fires die out. The lesser lights are no more seen. The eye through light awakens into life, the needed modes of being. And on the mental plane. To the disciple, this will carry knowledge, and to the ignorant, no sense, because the sense is lacking. Okay, so this is what we're doing. This is a review of how, a review of how the correspondences of the third eye work on various levels in a destructive, ejective, and rebuilding mode. The rebuilding, of course, has a lot to do with the second aspect of divinity. Now, the element of air, which is often associated with the Buddhic plane, but sometimes with aspects of the mental plane. Let's see what he says. The element of air, symbolically understood, is that substratum of energy which works through the forms of the etheric body. So air is the Buddhic plane and the cosmic ethers in general, and their lower correspondence in the etheric body, which is dealt with through the breath, handled through the science of pranayama. Now the air, the air brings to our attention the signs Gemini and Aquarius, and the planet Mercury and Uranus, those planets and those signs associated with the etheric body, and those two signs being air signs. Always Libra can enter in terms of balance. So the element of air is not being assigned to the Buddhic plane in this practical work. It's being assigned to the etheric plane. We've had the dense physical, we've had the astral, we've had the mental, and finally, he is separating out the etheric plane from the dense physical plane. This elemental form is the intricate etheric nature, the nadis and centers, and all advanced students know well how these are controlled by the focused attention of the soul in contemplation, acting through the head center, focused in the region of the third eye, and not only the ajna center, and swept into right and specific activity by an act of the will, and one has to be, let us say, an advanced student in order to do this. In the above sentence, I have concentrated the formula. Yes, it did look like a pithy, well-packed sentence. I've concentrated the formula for all magical work on the physical plane. And it is through the etheric body and the force, directed through one or other of the centers, that the soul carries on the work in magic. So this really has to be enlarged, let's say. All right, and this is where the sentence starts, and actually, I always get into trouble here because it freezes. And I'm going to try that it does not freeze and hope for the best. All right. Yes, we're okay. So, we're talking in relation to air about the etheric body. This elemental form is the intricate etheric structure, the nadis and centers, and all advanced students know well how these are controlled by the focused attention of the soul Because in a way, these advanced students are the soul. Okay, these advanced students know themselves as the soul, acting through the head center, focused in the region of the third eye, and swept into right and specific activity by an act of the will. So this is an instructive sentence. Process. In the above sentence, I have concentrated the formula for all magical work on the physical plane. Goodness. I'm going to make that even more outstanding. It is through the etheric body and the force directed through one or other of the centers that the soul carries on its work in magic, because, because we are engaged in the science of manifestation, the etheric body will be the most effective organ. But the process, as it involves the right creation of a suitable mental form and its proper motivation on the astral plane, must be the antecedent, must precede this etheric work. Okay. Now we move on a little bit. It is through the intense focusing of intention in the head and the turning of the attention through the third eye towards the center to be used that the force finds correct outlets. Now, you know, DK couldn't be clearer about this. He's basically giving us a formula for work. So we are being given a formula for magical work. It is through the intense focusing of intention in the head and the turning of the attention. So intention as an aspect of will. And the turning of the attention through the third eye. And let me say that imagination can be used at first towards the center to be used, that the force finds its correct outlet. That force is made potent by the energizing, directed, intelligent will. The third eye is the director of will, but for three different purposes, not all of them destructive. Some are manipulative and others are magnetic. Study these points, for in them you will find the clue to the magical work in your life, reconstruction. And that's really what he's trying to do, to help us, right? Let's just say, DK is trying to help us reconstruct our life according to spiritual principles, and it needs reconstruction. You will find the clue to the magical work in your own life reconstruction, to the magical work of human reconstruction, which certain adepts are carrying on, and, you know, this is obvious, but the reconstruction of the human race, and to the magical work of the evolution of the divine plan, which is the motivating power of the occult hierarchy. The magical work of the evolution of the divine plan. So the motive which empowers the spiritual hierarchy of our planet is the motive of the evolution of the divine plan. Motive is energizing. Motive is motivating. It gives the power to move. When people have no vision, they perish. And when they have the right kind of vision, they are motivated towards the expression of that vision. What is it that motivates us? What are our highest values? Everyone must answer this for himself or herself. Okay, so we've had some very good instruction on the destructive, the magnetic, and the manipulative power of the third eye, detecting, arranging, destroying, according to the three aspects. And DK has laid out these aspects. We've also seen how the elements of Earth connected with the dense physical, the element of water connected with the astral body of man, the element of fire connected, in this case, with the lower mental body of man, and the element of air, in this case, connected with the etheric body of man, are each affected by the power of the third eye and are rendered into a condition which is more effective and responsive to the soul and more effective in helping to carry out the divine plan. Well, this is, I won't be doing any more today, friends. You can be assured of that. So if I've seemed a little tongue-tied or tongue-twisted today, I hope that by tomorrow, if I can do this work, it will no longer be the case. I'll have to look into the astrology and see what has happened. We're in the moon in Gemini phase, and you'd think that communication would be facilitated, but disruptive Mars has been pretty close, unfortunately. So I hope that you've gotten something out of these two programs. I certainly hope so. And I can see already that this book is intricate and very, very practical and dealing with issues which are of immediate concern in the three lower worlds as in other aspects of the personality. So, our attention has been on the three powers of the third eye, three activities which come into dynamic effect when the monadic aspect is the controlling aspect. And so, you know, that will not be the case before the second initiation begins and its training towards the third, when the monadic is consciously available, begins to take place. So this third eye reveals as the eye of vision. The third eye controls the energy and the magical work and builds what is necessary. And along with this building, the destructive, expulsive nature of the first aspect occurs. So casting out and dispersing under the first aspect and rebuilding under the second aspect. The third eye, as our meditation work proceeds, will begin to grow. As a matter of fact, there's a reference I ran into that said from the time of the first initiation, the third eye is already under construction, but is not so useful in a practical manner and at will until we are really approaching the third initiation, but we can use before that time the creative imagination, which will help in the building and expelling process, and maybe also in the process of noticing the light within others and within all forms in general. So on all of these planes of the personality, some correspondence to the third eye is existing, and we have certain basic discriminations that the third eye is not the pineal gland, it's not the Ajna center. It is not the eye of the soul, which is different from it and is an aspect of the head center itself. So these fine discriminations have to be made, but meanwhile, as we persist with the proper kind of occult meditation and build the first stage of the Antikarana to the soul, and the stage of the Antikarana that we focus on mostly toward the monastic permanent atom, the higher energies will inflow, and the electrical conditions will be set up for the evocation of the third eye and its proper, clear, strong functioning according to the will of the disciple who is the soul in incarnation. Right. Well, always I tend to leave with a little regret. And, you know, with the statement to myself, now study this again. You know, study this again. And let's see. There we go. But this then will be the end of a treatise on white magic video commentary number 50. And this is going to be rule 6.2. I trust that is correct. And our page numbers, where I'm always going astray, up to page 216. And so, but where did we begin? And if only my memory would not be faulty in that regard, I wouldn't have to always take you back. But it was page 213 and up to page 216. Okay. I'm just hoping tomorrow the computer devas are a little kinder to me. So this is 213 to 216, and we'll be beginning a treatise on white magic video commentary number 51, rule 7.1. and page 216. And I just thought that it might be wise to simply repeat the content of the first rules for the mental plane which we have, upon which we've been working. And so I will do that as soon as I can find my way to this, A Treatise on White Magic, and here we are. So, let's all concentrate as we repeat the first six rules, which have taken us about, well, with the introduction, about 50 approximately one-hour programs. Rule one, the solar angel collects himself, scatters not his force, but in meditation deep, communicates with his reflection. Rule two, when the shadow hath responded, in meditation deep the work proceedeth. The lower light is thrown upward, and the greater light illuminates the three, and the work of the four proceedeth. Rule three, the energy circulates, the point of light, the product of the labors of the four, waxeth and groweth. The myriads gather round its glowing warmth until its light recedes, its fire grows dim. Then shall the second sound go forth. Rule 4. Sound, light, vibration, and the form blend and merge, and thus the work is one. It proceedeth under the law, and naught can hinder now the work from going forward. The man breathes deeply, he concentrates his forces, and drives the thought form from him. Rule 5. Three things engage the solar angel before the sheath created passes downward. The condition of the waters, the safety of the one who thus creates, and steady contemplation. Thus are the heart, the throat, and eye allied for triple service. And finally, Rule 6, the devas of the lower four feel the force when the eye opens. They are driven forth and lose their master. Now, it's obvious that a great deal of review is necessary, and very, you know, meticulous study, and ensuring that we know the sequence and the divisions of the processes. And as I say, when we want to apply this to strictly magical work rather than the magical reconstruction of the aspirant into a form more fitting as a white magician, we should go to A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, where the specific work of creation is undertaken, more specifically the work of the magician creating a thought form which has to externalize. And as I said, you can find that in my commentaries on A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, which are all written out. Only the last 100 pages or so of that book are given in video commentary style. Everything else is written, and maybe then more exacting, because writing tends towards the exactitude of thought more than speech does. So now we are ready to begin the 5 rules for the astral plane, of magic upon the astral plane, and these will be very powerful rules indeed. But basically, we're dealing here in this book with a magical reconstruction of the aspirant to the initiatic life, to the life of discipleship and the life of the initiate, and to participation with the spiritual hierarchy of our planet in the magical expression of the divine plan. That seems to be our theme. And DK at one point has talked about this book being very important for the control of the astral body. So I'm somewhat humbled, always a good thing, I think, as I read through this and realize what I can understand, do understand, or don't understand, and how much more energy it will require to study, to be clear, and to apply all that is studied and rendered clear in service. Okay, thanks everybody. So that's 50 of our programs, and we'll get on with it as best we can. I think that's correct. I think 50 is what we have. Yeah, okay, it's 50. So many blessings to everyone. Lots of love, lots of encouragement to study and not be daunted, to apply and not worry too much about outcomes. Do the right thing without looking for results excessively, and all will unfold, and we will become the true white magicians and true and full members of the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. See you soon. Bye-bye.